Hello, this is the weekly astrology forecast, and this is astrologer Shelley M. Teen. I am speaking to you about the week beginning Monday, the 20th of May, and ending on Sunday, the 26th of May. We have a lot of things happening during the week. The sun enters Gemini first thing Monday morning, 8:50 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. So we're starting to move out of some of the Taurus stable and steady energies and enter that realm of the mind, the curious, the like restless. I want to do something. I don't want to get bored here. You know, this is Gemini's least favorite thing. So there's always hopefully something to read or some little short journey to take, but that is going to be a focus for the time that we have the solar rays. Also neighbors and siblings and the families like cousins, aunts and uncles, those are features of this period of time with the sun in Gemini, and we will want to express more. And boy, you know, we're going to be expressing a lot more after Jupiter goes into Gemini. And that's going to be something that I'm going to include as best I can. But I may have to stop and do a separate podcast for Jupiter in Gemini when that arrives on the 25th, because it has a lot of things. In fact, I did a whole talk on this for the Asheville Friends of Astrology on Friday night, and it went very well, and there were lots of things said that I think are quite important. I will be willing to give the link to that recording if you will send a little bit of money. It's quite an extensive Zoom experience, and there's a lot of issues, and I will not go over those here because there's too many to do it. You can probably, if you're interested in knowing the real in-depth ideas about Jupiter in Gemini, that will be a good way to get it. So you'll see in the blog post how you can get that. But we'll have the sun in Gemini until we get to the magic moment that people like to think is the beginning of summer, but is actually the midsummer solstice. And that this year, the midsummer solstice, is going to take place on the, let's see exactly when, it's going to take place on the 20th day of June. And I shall flip to the day and tell you the time, in fact, because you may want to be doing rituals or something like that. Again, this is midsummer, and their celebration has lots of names, but is sometimes called Letha. And it will be at 4:51 p.m. when the sun enters Cancer this year. So if you want to do ceremony, you can do it then. Or if you wish, you can find a full moon near that time, which, since we're in the second quarter phase, is going to accommodate you on Friday the 21st of June at 9:08 p.m. You'll have the Capricorn full moon, and you can do your ritual then, carry it over into the Capricorn moon on Saturday if you so desire to ritualistically experience. But that is the time when we have the greatest amount of light, right? So we're coming in for that now. We have Monday being the 20th, so we've got a month of the most intensive waxing of light. We have, if you're looking at your horizon line, your sun is as far north on that day as it's going to get. It'll stay in that one position for a couple of days, and then it'll start moving south again, and we're headed for less light and cooler weather, although we're going to be going through a lot of heat before we get to that coolness indeed. So So Monday is the day, again, the sun is in Gemini until that 20th of June. So when we get the Jupiter entering Gemini at 7:15 p.m. on Saturday, the 25th, we have the principle of expansion in the mind and communications and gathering information as if it's not bombarding us all quite enough already. It's going to accelerate. But also what's going to accelerate is your ability to expand your consciousness beyond what you already think you know. And that's part of what the information in the Zoom that I did for Asheville Friends of Astrology is about. We're going to look at the progress in that of consciousness from a certain point in time and how Jupiter in Gemini is always there with a major shift. So I advise you to take a look at that. But also I can say just, you know, superficially on that level, where you have the transit of Jupiter in Gemini is where you can expect expansion also. And expansion hopefully is beneficial, because Jupiter does bring luck and does bring opportunities, especially if it's in your first house, transiting the first house. Or that would mean you have Gemini rising or maybe late Taurus rising. You will have the experience of, wow, people are really coming and asking me to do things. If it's in the 10th house above you, then you may also be very expanded in your public reputation and such. But it will be going through somewhere for you. If you need to know, if you need a reading, here I am. Get in contact with me and we will set up a time and we will have you see everything, even more than Jupiter in Gemini in your chart. So the mutable signs other than Sagittarius will be happy with Jupiter in Gemini, and I said that wrong. The air signs, other than actually Aquarius and Libra will be getting trines. And then the fire signs, other than Sagittarius, will be happy because they'll get sextiles. And then Jupiter will be opposing the Sagittarian planets. But the mutable planets include Pisces and Virgo and Sagittarius. So we've got the opposition to Sagittarius, the squares to Pisces and Virgo. So this is where sometimes things expand that you don't want to expand. And sometimes in the first house, even with all those wonderful experiences of having people offer you things, you can also expand physically very easily, with, you know, much less effort going into it, not as much food making your body get bigger. So that's something to know, and a quick version of Jupiter in Gemini. And that's going to retrograde a week after the October 2nd solar eclipse. And so it will be a while before we get to a direct, and it will be further in to 2025 before we change the sign of Jupiter in Gemini. Again, there's a lot of information to be had for a nominal amount of money if you want to hear really in-depth information. On Monday, after the sun enters Gemini, it happens to be a void of course moon, so nothing's happening. So you've got that Libra moon, again, with very easily moving through the day, nothing bothering it, nothing really upsetting the scales. Moon will enter Scorpio at 6:34 p.m. on Monday and go to square retrograde Pluto in Aquarius at 10:34. So once you get into the evening hours, Eastern time, you will be having conflicts if you're involved, or you're just going to have emotional issues of feeling out of control in a way, and that can be disturbing you. or someone else for that matter. After 10:34, the moon is going to oppose Mercury in Taurus until 10:18 a.m. on Tuesday. So this is where we get into issues about money and my stuff and our stuff and, you know, values also around that kind of thing. So it's not a good time to talk about those things because it won't work well and it won't be ending in any kind of compromise. After 10:18 a.m., the moon in Scorpio is going to trine Saturn in Pisces. So that's the rest of the day on Tuesday, 6:03 a.m. on Wednesday. So now, moon in Scorpio can be very helpful. If you're having some issues, you need to know this is where the moon in Scorpio is going to deep down get to the bottom of what you need to know. And while that's happening, we also have the sun in Gemini moving to trine retrograde Pluto in Aquarius at 11:14 a.m. So there is a lot of energy to look for. What did we find out about things that are changing in the future, and what are we going to do about them? Well, Wednesday is not a good idea to make a decision about it because the moon in Scorpio will oppose Uranus in Taurus until 4:24 p.m. Then it will oppose Venus in Taurus until 3:07 a.m. on Thursday and oppose Jupiter in Taurus at 3:13 a.m. on Thursday. So there's a lot of pushback. If you are the Scorpio position that wants to transform some things and wants to do some shared resource conversations, none of the three planets in Taurus are really very interested in shared resources. They have very firm ideas about their stuff, and they want to keep it that way. It's interesting because Thursday is the day of the full moon, and I will talk to you briefly about that too. But after 3:13 a.m., we have a brief moment. It's 3:28 a.m. on Thursday morning if you are up. And this is Eastern Time Zone, or if you're getting a journal out and you're going to record a dream, Moon in Scorpio, trine Neptune in Pisces, it's just 15 minutes after the opposition to Jupiter that you've got the time period of receiving potent and believable psychic feelings and impressions about things you might need to know. After that, 4:24 a.m. is when the waxing moon is entering Sagittarius. And the first aspect will be a sextile to retrograde Pluto in Aquarius at 8:10 a.m. And this is, again, a time to be looking at what has already, retrograde Pluto, been changing and ideas about the future. And if you had a trip already planned long distance, you may be looking at some of the things that you might have to alter if you can. But that's 8:10 a.m. And while that's coming in is when we have Venus in Taurus conjunction Jupiter in Taurus, 4:29 a.m. And this is also only 5 minutes after the moon enters Sag. It's very early in the morning for most people in the United States and Canada and South America. So this would be a hugely sensual and perhaps very beneficial. You may be getting some kind of gift or some good information about money. Venus in Taurus, also sextile Neptune in Pisces until 6:50 a.m., again, some kind of input that's creative and visionary. That's a very lovely time. If it was in the afternoon, we'd all be enjoying it. But maybe you'll get some good dream visions that will give you a sense of what may be in the future. It's 9:53 a.m. when the moon in Sagittarius gets to the exact opposition to the sun in Gemini. And this is one of the lunations that isn't quite as dramatic as the others, and we do have a spread. Instead of a 90 degrees, pretty much all the planets, we are starting to break out of that. And of course, with the moon over in Sagittarius and the sun already over in Gemini, we've got like really half of the zodiac that has some planetary activity in it. You know, so it feels a little more expansive. It feels a little bit more free. And the interesting thing, the polarity is always the issue of the mind that is involved in details and categorizing and naming things and wants things to be a bit logical, is opposing the instinctive feeling to be more philosophical and be expanding more in what we might want to do, even literally, physically, in space. Moon in Sagittarius is very active. It wants to move around a lot. If you have it natally, it's very hard for you to sit down and be in a listening mode for long periods of time. You just have to get moving, you know. So this is the also the difference between our neighborhood and our long distance, our own family and the family of our legal partner or our in-laws, you know, our current known culture and people in foreign lands and foreign cultures. So that is the polarity that's working here. And what we have going on is a really interesting configuration. Venus and Jupiter have just very recently, as we know, we saw in the forecast that at 4:29 a.m. they made their exact conjunction, and Venus made her exact sextile to Neptune at 6:50 a.m. And in the chart, Venus is ahead of the pack in the last degree, which they call the perigee. It is an eclectic degree. There is nothing that Venus will do. She will not make a connection to anything else that tells a story until she gets into Gemini. So she's sort of there stuck in the physical realms, but she's leaning heavily toward going into the mental realms, which she'll be very soon. Jupiter, the same thing. I mean, they're just minutes apart. Also, in the very last degree of Taurus, Jupiter, and then, as I said, on the 25th is when he will finally move. She will move into Gemini on Thursday, not long after the full moon, 4:50 p.m., Venus will enter Gemini. And now we have all the values shifting. And, you know, we have the love nature shifting. And this is a Venus that loves you by communicating with you. It loves you with loving words. And it loves to travel around and see interesting places and things that, you know, take a little detour on a road nearby and see what's happening there. This is something that Venus loves. And she loves taking classes, she loves reading books and learning more and visiting with people and friends. This is a very social Venus. And she's like a butterfly Venus. She's like a hummingbird Venus, you know. She's really very active and wants things to be pleasant, which is always a nice category to find yourself in. Hey, this was a very pleasant day, you know, and she may be planning things and spend money on events where people can get together once she's in Gemini and be able to share thoughts and experience. So she's not, she's flirtatious. She may not land on something and stay for long, you know, like the butterfly and the birds. But she isn't always unfaithful. It's just that she loves the options of being able to be, you know, definitely attending to others instead of just sticking next to the side of the person she came to the party with. She'll be all over the room. So don't worry about that necessarily, especially if you're keeping her interested enough. And that is the thing, again, Venus in Gemini, don't get boring. That's where you have problems. And in the sign that rules the hands, you know, here's where you're getting, you know, your manicures, and maybe you're buying rings or a bracelet that's, you know, near the hand to the wrist. It's a little early for buying gloves, but if you're looking at early Christmas presents or something, people might be buying things that are doing attire and beautification for the hands. And maybe even wanting loving hands to be touching you, so you might be getting massage and different kinds of energy treatments, or, you know, having the spa day, you know, where it's all taken care of, including the entire body, you know. And so that is, you know, pretty much, but you'll be buying books and definitely even audio books. She doesn't really mind, as long as she's learning something, as long as it's interesting. So that's what our Venus will be like. And, you know, she will have aspects, and she will be with us in that sign until she shifts on the 17th of June. So very close, just before. She'll be in Cancer already when the sun enters Cancer. And so you have that lovely time period that is always like kind of nice in June. She's not always in Gemini, but this is a lovely time for lovers to make wedding plans and have that kind of experience also. You know, June is a traditional month of weddings, it seemed. It used to be anyway. I don't know if it still is. But, okay, so after this full moon is when she will shift. So what is also happening after the full moon is that Jupiter in Taurus, in that last degree, makes a sextile to Neptune also. Neptune is also in the last degree of Pisces. And so they're all kind of ready to, like, hey, let's get going somewhere else. I've had it with these signs, especially the slower moving one like Neptune. But Neptune is, you know, while Gemini, Jupiter will be around, the Neptune energy is going to retrograde at 29 Pisces, so it won't move forward beyond Pisces until it does, which will be further into the direct motion is going to be on the 7th of December. So it's going to be into 2025. And at some point, not too far into 2025, we will have both Neptune and Saturn shift into Aries. Okay, but that's a ways away. Don't think about it too much now. But Jupiter has that last sextile. It won't be around sextile Neptune again for about 12 years. So this is a very creative 5:44 p.m., a very sensual, and really the time to have that delicious dinner with candlelight and music. And if you are ready to have a good loving experience with your partner, you've had a Venus energy shift, and so that may be a very lovely time. 5:44 p.m. I'm going to have to cough. Excuse me. There's still some pollen going on here. All right, so we have the moon in Sagittarius. It's just coming off the full, which was also a time of peak. So it's either a fruition and you're, yay, I reached my goal, Or it's like, whoa, I can see this now. I've got to do something to change what this is all about. So this is also true. Always good to know where the full moons and things like that are falling in your chart. It will make a lot of sense to you when you see the things that go on, if you know where it is. So moon in Sagittarius is moving on for the square to Saturn in Pisces until 2:29 p.m. on Friday. So that's kind of where we get into that downer feeling. Sagittarius moon is still has a lot of light and would love to share everything it needs to tell people about what it's learned, or even, you know, offer something to others. But Saturn in Pisces is fearful and cautious, and so will be a frustration experience for the moon in Sag. And if it's internalized within the self, it will be that sense of I can't do what I want to do. I want this and I want that and I can't. So, you know, there are ways to lighten that feeling space, and you should use them, you know. So one of the things I would see in that, what I just said, is a Bach flower remedy called Larch. I am going to be teaching a class soon. You'll get that information soon. A Zoom class on using Bach flower remedies, which relate to astrology, like these kinds of things that I tell you, so that you would know how to get them without me having to tell you which ones would be helpful for you at different days, different times, for your own constitutional, quote, remedy for your birth chart. So here, this one would be perhaps Larch again, or if you feel like you're having a setback, Gentian, these would be helpful. Or if it's fearful, that seems to be the most thing that is the most needed, then you have Mimulus for that. If you want to just not indulge it, not identify with it, Bach flowers will lift you right out. Shortly after this exact 2:29 p.m. square, the moon is going to pick up speed, but not for long, but just right away, like 2:36 p.m., moon trine Mars. So, okay, I've had enough with this naysaying. I'm just going to get in the car and take a ride. And that's what that will probably look like. Or I'm going to get up and change the room. I'm going to go here. I'm going to do this. And so you'll get yourself out of it by doing. On Saturday, the moon is going to be squaring Neptune at 10:47 a.m. So what you're hearing on Friday and into this morning, evening and morning hours until that square, you're either over-idealizing it or it's, you know, it's just not true. It can also be issues with weather that are raining on your parade, so to speak. During the time that this moon square Neptune is coming in, Venus in Gemini has her first aspect, which is a trine to retrograde Pluto in Aquarius, and that's at 7:16 a.m. So we're having like maybe some ideas, thinking about what had to change or what might change in the future or what has already changed. But you can do that. But again, the moon square Neptune is the aspect arriving, so you may be either over-idealizing or hearing things and trying to make decisions about something that's not really going to be there. You know, when the fog clears, it will look completely different. So be aware of that for the morning of Saturday. 11:36 a.m., we have a moon enter Capricorn, and now you can look at things because it's going to trine Mercury in Taurus. Very practical energy, you know, very down-to-earth energy. So you can get your ideas and put your ducks in a row and get people to hear what, you know, might be good structures and things and methods and all that stuff. And you have until 4:49 p.m. on Sunday for that. In the meantime, Jupiter will enter Gemini, again, 7:15 p.m. on Saturday. the 25th, and it will get something rolling, an expansion in the house it's in for you. And, everybody has it somewhere. So you will have that experience to add and know that if you're doing that really rational and solid and earth element experience, you also can make an ideal decision about how to use that Jupiter energy for your benefit. So after this, we have Moon in Capricorn sextile Saturn in Pisces for the rest of Sunday, 8:33 p.m. So that's okay. That is kind of like you've gotten to a point at 4:49 p.m. where you feel confident and you feel like you're in charge of things again, and you can help that naysayer, that one that's concerned and worried, even if it's internal. You'll feel better as the sextile comes in, Saturn to Pisces, 8:33 p.m. So Moon will, however, square Mars after this, so try to refrain from trying to impose anything on someone who's very independent and will, sort of argue, a lot. Maybe a fight kind of thing. So forget that. 11:37 p.m., that comes in. But you'll have until 6:05 a.m. on Monday with the Moon in Capricorn trine Uranus and Taurus, which can then be a way to see how to make some kind of a change and have it work out. All right? So that was the week, as fast as I possibly could do it, because I've been so, so busy that I really had to come slide into home base to do this for you. And I am still looking at, finding the absolute right time, right day to move forward with the Substack, which is a really wonderful opportunity. It'll expand so much of what I can do in one location. And there is a free subscription, which you would get, but there's also special stuff that you can get for minimum paid subscription. They usually are about $7 a month. And you can find extra stuff. And then there's also a donor level. If you love my work so much and the certain things that I would offer on the donor level you would want, then you can also make a bigger contribution to my work and be rewarded for it. So that's what I have to say. And let's see. The Monday is Memorial Day, so the weekend forecast is also about... that I just gave you is also about seeing how you're working with that weekend, and even if you're looking at travel and stuff like that, if you happen to do that, or when's the ideal time for the barbecue or whatever. And Memorial Day, I will tell you, is going to have on the Eastern time zone until 5:32 p.m. wonderful energy. There's a little blip after that, which could get intense, but you've got some good time during that day to get things going and have fun. So that's the good news. And next week, the week that will take us from the end of May into June, and will also be seeing us go in from the third quarter phase of the moon into the last quarter phase of the moon. So we'll be heading for a new moon, but that will not arrive until June 6th, and that'll be your Gemini new moon. So next week, let's see if anybody's... There's a couple of very interesting aspects coming in with the planets that are already in the signs they're in and in the motion that they're in also. So it looks like we get some time to assimilate, particularly the Gemini energies that have just come in, the Sun and Jupiter and Venus. You know, so we're in a different mode. So we can talk about that and a couple of the aspects there. So that's what I have to say. Have a good full moon and enjoy the week. And I will say goodbye for now.